Thank you for having me here. May God lead us and bless us with his wisdom and understanding, preparing our hearts to learn and to obey from his word. The story that I'm going to meditate with you today is a Sunday school story. So don't expect any serious thing. It's a good story. We'll learn together in a very simple format. This story that God has put here for us to know, it is not to make David known or to make how great or good he was, but to make his God known, how he planned David's life and how he worked out these things through David and in his life for his glory and for his purposes. Let's look at the story first. It has been read to you. It's a very simple story. Here is this boy David who grows up in a family if we look at the story, we know that he was not so much cared for in his family. When Samuel comes to anoint, sent by God, one of his sons of his father, his brother, and his father does not even remember, at that time at least, that he had another son. So Samuel had to actually push him to remember, do you have another son? And that will be really interesting for any father to forget that you do have a son. David must have been very insignificant in the family. Other brothers were good enough for army. David did not join army. So we can imagine that he was bodily probably not as well built as his other brothers were, probably. We don't know exactly, because David did fight a lot of good fights, but how the world looks, which we'll be looking at more seriously, how the world looks and how the God looks at you and me. So world at least did not understand him that way. Okay. So Samuel is there. He anoints him. Now his brothers, his father, even the whole village knows that an anointment has been done here. He is called into the service by Saul, where he plays music for him. And as in this passage also, if you look a little back and forth, you'll know that it is mentioned that David went back and forth from the service of Saul to look after the sheep of his father. So people are familiar with him. They know, and yet how they treat him. He's king, not treated by his family well. He comes to this war zone, and he's there. And his brothers blame him. He's the one at least daring to make this statement that we don't need to be scared of this big man because our God will help us. And yet even king does not take an initiative apart from saying, oh, here is my armor, you take it, you go. I mean, think of a king taking his royal armor, handing them over to a boy who is not even trained to use them. It's, for me, it almost looked like Esau not caring for his birthright. Saul has no honor for his own position at this point of time. What is happening there? We move the story to the battle lines. So there are Philistines, and there are Israelites, and here is this big guy who walks up, shows his might and says, anybody who can fight with me? Day one, day two, day three, and we know now that it is 40th day. So terrible, isn't it? 40 days every morning you wake up, get dressed to fight the war, and all you face is impossible thing, and then all you do is run away. For 40 days, same exercise, no change. So if you are getting up another day, same day. He will come, he'll abuse, we can't fight him, we'll run away. But isn't that true in our everyday life today? Every day we get up, same thoughts, same problems, same failures, same depression, joyless whole day. Then we're tired in the evening, we sleep, there is next day, we wake up, again we have a list of the similar things, same troubles. How is our life different than the army of Israel? Because devil is every day in some or other format challenging us for that day. Isn't it? 40 days, too long for that. Anyway, David arrives on 40th day. It's not a coincidence. God planned it that way, that he will arrive. Because 40 is a number in Bible that usually kind of indicates to the end of it you have reached. 40 days fasting, 40 days this. It's almost like you have fasted to the death point. There was not a further possibility that you could have. There is no clear rule about it, but this is kind of an idea. 40 days of insult. You have been insulted enough. There was nothing left to take more insult onto death. It's kind of that day David arrives. Why that day? And what God has here in this? David is anointed king, not accepted king. God knows who he is. People don't care. They have not accepted him. Now, at this moment, something was going to happen, that David will become popular. Suddenly, he will change from a shepherd boy to the mighty warrior. There will be songs being sung when people will be returning from this battle lines. They'll be singing songs. And Saul will be, of course, jealous after that. And other things will happen. This is the make or break point that God has planned. And he has trained David for this day. So when David arrives, he arrives and trained by God for this very particular day, planned for this day, he changes the narration that was going on in the army. What was the narration? This big man comes, we can't fight him, we run away. If anybody goes, fights, king will give this thing. David confirms all of that. And now David says, how dare this Philistine comes against or abuses or challenges the armies of God? Suddenly there is a different statement. The whole crowd has been having a different narration. But here this young boy turns it around. Every day this man comes and they say, I challenge the armies of Israel. Anybody dares to come and fight with me? Nobody said anything. David comes on the 40th day and prepared by God for this role. He comes and says, how dare he challenges, not the armies of Israel, armies of God. And then this narration goes around and Saul calls him. And he says to Saul, well, I'll go and fight. And he says, you are just a young man. See the comparison Saul does, how the world looks at it. You are young here, and he has been training from his youth. So where you are standing today, he has begun there and reached there. You are here, young man, and he has been training from his youth to this day. How will you fight? That's the comparison that world will do with you and with me. God will look at you differently. God will look at you as a king, his children, as we read from the Romans. Romans was read for this purpose. Who are we in Christ? In God? We are his children. Who can fight against us? Nobody. If Christ is for us, who can be against us? Okay? Now, he gives his armors, and we do take sometimes worldly advices, systems and things. But we can't carry them. We are not trained for them. David was not. And also remember, when Saul was chosen to be king, it is said about him that he was a handbreadth above everybody. So everybody in the camp of Israel was only up to his soldiers. So Saul was long, tall guy, and David is an average person. And so if you put this tall guy's armor on David, he won't move into that. So this was not helpful for him. He was not trained for this. What was he trained in? Because this day had not come by coincidence. This day was planned by God in his life. And if God has planned this day in his life, then God has trained him for this day. And how has God trained? David looks back and says, "Sir, when I was looking after my sheep, a bear came and tried to hurt my sheep. A lion came, tried to hurt my sheep, and I fought with them." And does he say, "I'm so strong I can do"? No. "My God saved me from these two. And the same God will give this man into my hand and save me from him." See how the narration is changing? That's where we are going to learn a few things in this. But at present we are looking at this story. The narration is changing now. God will save me from this. Now, just for technicality's sake, have you seen a lion in the zoo? Good. These are big animals, isn't it? Even if they stand on their four, their head can still come to our normal people's head. Not yours, you're too tall. But to us normal people, they can look in our eyes. What if they stand? You know, a lion, a full-grown lion, can be about 9 to 10 feet. How tall was Goliath? 9 plus feet. What is the difference? David was trained by God to face Goliath in fighting with a lion. A full-grown lion standing up will mean almost similar as Goliath standing. Okay, so for David, this narration was coming out of what God has been doing in his life. He looked at Goliath and said, "Yeah, I know the lion is same. I fought with it. And God has saved me from that. This man is no different." What is the truth? When God brings a Goliath in your life, he trains you to fight the Goliath. Only thing is, we are not at times sure of it because we have not looked back in our life from God's perspective. That how God has trained me for this day. Okay? We look at from world's perspective. What do I need to fight this problem? No. The worldly armors will not help. You're not trained for them. You're not trained in them. You're trained by God for your tomorrow today. And of course, then we read in the word of God when David says, "And that all this assembly may know." David is going to fight, talking to Goliath. And what is he saying? "That let all this assembly know that the Lord saves not with sword and spears, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Same thing is said about our salvation. We have not received our salvation with gold or silver. We have received it with the blood of Christ. Now, David goes to fight Goliath. Goliath is prepared. Let's look at another technicality here. Goliath is fully trained, fully armored, safeguarded with his shield bearer walking in front of him. And what safety does David have? Nothing. He's a shepherd boy in the shepherd clothes. And what arms does he have? Nothing. He's got just a sling. What can you do with a sling? Throw a stone. You throw a stone at a fully trained soldier, would that soldier be scared of you? That's where the problem was. Goliath was not prepared to fight David. Goliath was expecting a man with a sword or with a javelin or with a spear. He was prepared for those worldly tricks. He was not prepared for God's preparations. Okay? So he did not defend himself when David hurled a sling stone on him. You see the point there? Goliath did not defend himself. He was not prepared. When God brings things in your, in my life, and if you and I fight with what God has prepared you and me with, the enemy is taken with surprise. Because they're prepared for all worldly things, not for godly things. How God will bring them down. And so simple stone, where does it hit? At the head. That's the only thing a soldier does not cover. There is a head gear coming up to here, then breastplate and everything else. What is the area that is not covered? Face. That's exactly the stone would hit. Now, I understand the stone did not kill him. He just probably got unconscious because of that. And David cut his head when he was lying unconscious. That way. What do we learn? If God is putting a challenge in your life, or let's say if you do not understand the challenges from God, if you think there is a challenge in your life, and that challenge is like a Goliath, impossible, beyond your and my means, beyond anything that we can imagine to fight it with, what happens to you and to me? We usually give up and run away. What can I do? I'm not strong enough to fight such a big man. This problem is beyond my capacity. I will probably pray to God, help me. But most of the time our prayers are not with action. Most of the time our prayers are just prayers. Sometimes God even hears them and takes action. Most of the time we are not taking action after praying that way. We forget to look into our life, how God has prepared us for that challenge. So three truths. Truth number one. All challenges that come to your and my life are ultimately challenges against God, not against you and me. Goliath is not ultimately challenging armies of God or David. Who is he challenging? How does the narration is changed? He's challenging God. What does God say in New Testament when Paul Saul was persecuting the church? Why do you persecute me? Was not the same God of Israel's army? It was the same God, isn't it? He brought them out of Egypt. He gave them this land and he promised them, I will look after you. Did not this army know? It is not the lack of knowledge when we suffer. It is the lack of obedience and trust in the God that we suffer. This army also knew this truth, what David was saying. David was not saying anything that was new. David was saying with action and obedience to what this army was not understanding. Now, how does that make difference to you and to me? If I take that challenge to me, I will lose. Of course, I'm weak. I don't have enough strength to fight against. Maybe some smaller things I can probably fight when. But when challenges come into my life, which are beyond my capacity, then I cannot fight them with my human strength. So if I take the challenge in my life to me, I will either end up losing or compromising. Which happens commonly in Christian life. We either compromise or we lose. But if we change that narrative, that this which is biblical, which is correct, which is what God wants, that every challenge in your and my life is a challenge against God, So you just pass on the ball, basically. You are on the battle lines, you fight, yes, you act, but the defender is behind you, by your side, or whichever way you might like to understand God's presence with you. Then God never loses. Would God ever lose? No. Beat anybody, whatever. Who can be against us if God is for us? Isn't it? Truth number one, all challenges are against God, not against you and me. Why? Because you and I are God's children. Jesus has shed his precious blood to bring you and me into the relationship to be adopted as children of God. And if I am a child of God, nobody, nothing can come to me without God's knowledge, without it being against God. How will that change my next truth, next understanding in my life? If all challenges are against God, and if I take them that way, and if I understand that way, then I have to look into my life how God has prepared me for that. Because God will not allow that to come to me without preparing me for that. I have to just look back like David looked back. And with confidence he said, yeah, that's right, he's a big man, but I have killed a bear and a lion, and he's fully aware that it was not his strength that God delivered me from that. God has saved me from that. I'm prepared. I'm going against this one. Look back for God's work, God's training in your life. When you have a challenge today, yesterday, or day before in your life, God has prepared you. You just need to look back. And look how God prepared you. And use those means. Okay, God will not give you an exam like a good teacher for the subject he has not prepared you. He'll give exam. He wants you to graduate. He wants you to go next step. Okay, but he will teach you. And he does that. Okay. Now, exam is also prepared by teacher. Challenges. Goliath did not come just like that. As I said in the beginning, Goliath was also put up at that time by God only for David to pass that exam. The third truth. If we take it this way, then all glory, all victory is for God also. Isn't it? If I take the challenge to me, of course, if I win or lose, it's my responsibility. If the challenge is to God, if I understand that truth, and if I understand God prepared me for this, then all glory is for whom? Which is the rightful way. Isn't it? Then I bring glory. So the battle is God's. And it is not won by swords or javelins or worldly things for us Christians, but by God. Isn't it? Now, one truth. We always do not have a victory in a worldly sense. David won. It was physically visible. It was needed at that moment of time. God had executed it this way to bring David out of the shadow, to put David in front of public, that he is your next leader, he is your king. And that was being done by God by this event. That way, but that is not always the same story with everyone. These days in India, a lot of persecution is going on around. A lot of our brothers and sisters' houses are burned. Many of them have to leave villages. Many of them have to leave their job. Many of them suffer. Now we have that challenge. You might have different other challenges. And you might be visibly ending up like you have lost. No, we are not losing. We are winning. The world thinks we are losing. How? Look at Stephen. Stephanus was preaching. And what are the people doing? Jewish people stoning him. So they stone him to death. Now, visibly, the world has won. They think they have won over. Paul, who was Saul at that time, thinks they have won. They have contained it, controlled it, and now they will be scared. They won't preach gospel again. But that was not the truth. What was the truth? The heaven was open to receive Stephanus. Although in pain, but he was victorious. Many times, the world may think they may have won over you and me. Many times, the perception may look like, I lost my job, nothing happened, for the sake of, let's say, either ethical issues or moral issues. In Australia, I have heard many stories of that kind. So if you stand for the truth, you might end up losing your job. Or things like that. And the world may say, oh, we have taught them a lesson. Now, next time, they will not do that. No, we still win. Because this is not the world we are fighting for. We are fighting for the open heaven and for the seat in the kingdom of God. It may be anything, any challenge in your and my life. God would love to give you and me victory visibly if needed, if it fits in his plan for you to graduate further. However, if that is not the truth, you and I are still not losing. We are still winning because we are going to our destination where we are supposed to be. What is this Goliath today in your life? Is it outside you? Is it a temptation in your life? Is it a trial that you are facing? Or it could be a relationship issue. And many times it could be something that you can't tell anybody. It may be something that is just killing you inside. Anything. It is ultimately against God. Because you are God's child. Anything that hurts you hurts God. So look back into how God has prepared you to face this challenge. It is impossible that God has not prepared you. He has. You just need to look back for his work in your life. And today, you may be being trained or prepared for tomorrow's challenge. Then submit today. Submit today to what God is doing today in your life. So you will be prepared for tomorrow's challenge. And give glory to God for his victory in your and my life. God bless you.